the car, streaming online, on our free smartphone app, or on your smart speaker. This is your home for sports. 104.5 The Zone.
NHL powered by the Tennessee Lottery, 3:20 in the afternoon. Let's talk about this, not just the Athlon Top 25, but the Top 26. We bring in Braden Gall now, Athlon's only one and only Braden Gall, and was texting.
You got to add in the 26, right?
Well, there's a 26 team that we're going to start with, Braden, so I'll ask you, we'll start with number 26, but also I just want to say, all my dad admiration to you, sir, as you've been watching two kids, what, under 4 years of age now for a few months?
Yeah, I speak in three-word sentences permanently now until about 8 o'clock at night. It's a joy. Kids are a joy.
So the top 25 is out, and the way I knew it was out, I saw you interacting with some people on Twitter, and you said somebody had asked you about Tennessee. Okay, so where's Tennessee? You said number 26. So let's start this 25 talk with who is number 26.
Sure. And it's strange this entire week, just drenched in Twitter hatred about the rankings has actually felt more normal than anything I've done in like 3 months. So, we hate your team, of course, at Athlon Sports, everybody's team. And that includes Tennessee at 26. They were preseason number 47 last year. So if you want to be really, really simple about it and just drill it down to just what are expectations for last year's team and what are expectations for this year's team, you could argue Jeremy Pruitt has closed the gap by half on Florida and Georgia because those two teams are still in the top 10. So it's all the reasons you like Tennessee. You like the offensive line growth. I think the quarterback room with Jim Chaney is better than people think it is sort of outside of Tennessee. I think a guy who started almost 30, he's played in 30-plus games, he's a senior and a true superstar potential freshman, with a coordinator who's coached like 1,000 games in the SEC, like that's a pretty good place to start at that position, even if you're not sure who the guy is going to be. The secondary is in good shape. You got a lot of guys back in the defensive front, a lot of young players developing. The running back room is great. Got to find some receivers. And the schedule is a little bit easier outside of adding Oklahoma. So, if they win every game they're favored in and they lose every game they're not, which is way too simple, but if they do that, they'll be 8-4, and that's right around, top 25-ish fringe status. So I think that's where we settled. Are they better than, some of the teams in 22, 23, 24? Maybe. Are they worse than some of the teams behind them? Maybe. There's a lot of teams that are about the same in that territory, and, we need to see Jeremy Pruitt beat some teams that he's not supposed to as far as having winning records. And I know he beat Auburn. They were 3-5 that year in the SEC 2 years ago. He beat Kentucky 2 years ago. That's the only team he's beaten with a winning record in the SEC. So there's a lot of momentum, a lot of things to like, but there's also still a lot to prove.
What was y'all's, I guess, most difficult decision overall when it comes to rankings this year? I'm going to ask for entire college football and then specifically in the SEC. Where did Athlon kind of go back and forth and say, I don't know, what do you think about this, but this? Overall, toughest decision and then toughest decision in the actual SEC.
It's probably the same answer, actually. Really tough decisions in the Big 12, who's going to play Oklahoma. Really tough decision in the Pac-12 South, Big 10 West. But the toughest decision, bar none, in any conference across the country and in the SEC is Florida versus Georgia in the East. I think there's a really great case for Georgia. In fact, if you told me which team outside of the top three, which is Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, which team outside of the top three could win the whole thing, and which team resembles LSU of last year the most, it's Georgia. I mean, transfer quarterback, new play caller, total unknown, head coach who sort of has failed to evolve offensively. Now we're seeing that's what they're trying to do with Todd Monken, the new offensive coordinator. It's all the exact same stuff Coach O and LSU just did. And so if you're looking to find this year's LSU, it's probably Georgia. That being said, those are all giant question marks. And we have no idea if any of that stuff on offense is going to work. And defensively, Georgia's spectacular. They might be the best defense in the country. But Florida right now has far more continuity at the quarterback position. I trust Dan Mullen on offense way more than I trust anybody on the Georgia staff. Georgia still has a better roster. Florida's got a better schedule. So if you start, you can go back and forth on those two, and depending on how you feel during the course of the day, you could land on a different answer. We went with Florida. Georgia has to play Alabama. They've got to play a tougher schedule. Florida probably is going to be favored in every game that it plays, maybe outside of Jacksonville against Georgia, and that depends on how, you know, frankly, how Georgia plays early in the season and what the offense looks like. I just think there's more continuity with Florida in a year where continuity is going to matter so much, culture is going to matter so much, and I just think there's a whole lot of new stuff for Georgia on offense that raises just enough questions to say, you know what, I think this is the year Florida breaks through. Both teams are playoff good. Both teams are SEC championship good. Dan Mullen wasn't too far behind Georgia the last two seasons, and I think this is the year that you know, if we're leaning one direction, we're taking Florida. But that was by far the toughest decision.
Braden Gall, our guest from Athlon Sports. I saw you guys had Texas A&M at number 11. They're spending a lot of money, not just on Jimbo, on everything. Matt Stinchcomb at one point said they were building a Death Star at Texas A&M. At what point does the Death Star start firing instead of continuing to get blown up by Luke Skywalker every year?
Well, I mean, the problem is Luke Skywalker was named Nick Saban, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow. You know, like, these guys were all Master Jedis, and like, none of those guys are on the schedule anymore, and that's a big step in the right direction for Texas A&M. They bring back more starters than anybody in the SEC. They've got more experience. They've got a quarterback who's played a bunch of games in Kellen Mond. Jimbo Fisher's got a national championship ring and pedigree and third year of the culture. I think, you know, I talked to a lot of people in College Station, and they, almost all of them, preseason last year were pointing to 2020. I mean, that was a really big talking point amongst Aggie people last year was, man, this is going to be a good team, but the schedule's too hard. We're all circling 2020 as the year. So, you know, LSU's taken a step back with all their departures, coaching staff and personnel on the field. There's a really good chance that A&M could jump up, catch LSU, maybe challenge Alabama. So I think this is a year that they could challenge. We picked them third in the West, but we've got them 11th in the country. You know, Auburn's at 13. They're fourth in the division, if that tells you how tough that division is. So still a pretty difficult path for A&M, but you like what they're doing. And again, when you've got a, in a year where there's no great quarterbacks in the SEC, somebody will develop certainly and become great. But right now, you can make a case that Kellen Mond is among the best quarterbacks in the SEC, and he still has to prove some stuff. So there's a lot to like about A&M. There's no question. And I think being in the West, you know, I think they would be third behind Georgia or Florida in the East as well. But they've got to prove that they sort of deserve to be over that next hump, because they're a really good football team, and they got really good players, but they got a tough path, and the schedule is so much easier this year. I think that's why, if you're talking about them taking a big step forward, it's because the schedule lightens up and they've got a lot of people coming back.
Yeah, not a lot of spring practice too. That Kellen Mond experience, I think, going to pay off. All right, on the way out, Braden, I got to bring this up, because checking in at number 18, the Tar Heels. Number 18 in the top 25, Mack Brown doing work.
I think you could argue they should be higher, to be honest. I will preach the gospel of Sam Howell to anybody that will listen. He's a true freshman quarterback last year. The ball just comes out of his hand differently, folks. Like, he is a bona fide superstar. His numbers are off the charts good in his first year. They got 10 starters back on offense, so all of his weapons, all of his offensive line is back. They play in a conference that allows you to score a bunch of points and pick up a bunch of wins. They play a tough non-conference schedule when you look at UCF and Auburn, two ranked teams in the non-conference. And if they get those two wins, it's clear sailing to the ACC championship game. So I really like, if you're telling me here's a sleeper team that you think could, you know, in that 15 to 25 range, that could be 11-1 at the end of the year and play Clemson in the ACC title game, North Carolina's a team that I really like. So I know you don't necessarily love to hear that, but they're a really good football team, and they got a lot of people coming back. So I love the quarterback, man. I think Sam Howell is a top five NFL draft pick in three seasons. That's how good I think he is, and he's going to be a true superstar in college football before people know it.
Oh, wow!
All right, we're up against a break, so we got to run. You guys do have Clemson number one, Alabama number two in your poll, if people wondered. On the way out, Braden, for people who want to social distance but they want to get their hands on the Athlon magazine, it's real easy, right? They just go to your website.
Yeah, it's real complicated. When you go to athlonsports.com, like, right there at the top, it says buy your magazine. So it's a really complicated thing. You just click that button. we'll send it to you early. They're going to hit newsstands about June 2nd, but we'll send it to you early. So, you know, click that button there. You can order the SEC mag and the national mag. Support Athlon Sports just the way we're supporting all other local businesses right now. So it'll be great content. We work really hard on it. And I think the men and women who put it together did an excellent job, and we're proud of it, and hope it entertains people for the next couple of months for sure.
It will, and I will be one of those people. Braden, thanks for the time, man. Good catching up with you.
Yep, good talk to you guys.